Good afternoon, everybody. This is Zeke here. It's what, about 2:03 on a sad Thursday. A friend of mine, friend of the station, Len Dobbin died last night, and it's somber. The only thing that I can sort of think of that is, I don't know, any which way sort of comforting is that I think at roughly the time he was dying, I was playing Miles Davis, and so there was some sort of synergy there. But we're not going to dwell on death, we're not going to dwell on dying, we're not going to dwell on jazz, although there's going to be a little bit of jazz happening just because. This is Movement Museum, it's 2:04, this is CKUT 90.3 FM. If you want to follow us on the internet, it's movement-museum.blogspot.com. And on today's show, we have a bunch of interviews. I got an interview with Antonio Najaro of Jazzing Flamenco there at the Jazz Festival this year, as they did about 4 years ago. They actually have a dance show, and where everybody sort of talks about how the Jazz Festival doesn't only do jazz, they do all sorts of music. It now appears that they don't only do music, they do all sorts of cultural stuff. As usual, we have the awesome calendar, we have the audition list, and then we have a two-part interview with Jamie Gogardi, who is president of System D, which is Dominic Port's dance troupe. And there it was, to me, an interesting interview, because normally, for the most part, we talk with a lot of dancers and so on. However, there is a whole lot of support network and stuff going on behind the scenes of what is involved in just getting stuff up on the stage, and it isn't just necessarily choreography and training and stretching. And so he's got a whole whack of stuff there. But it was the sort of thing where, what is it, today's Thursday, so on Tuesday, it was actually on Monday, Sunday, I realized that, oh my God, there is a dance show at the Jazz Festival, and wow. And it's this thing called Jazzing Flamenco, and initially the company, Antonio Najaro's, which I'm sorry that I'm mispronouncing his name, he had been here 4 years ago or thereabouts with something called Tango Flamenco, and apparently done such a great job that they brought him back on Sunday. So I then called up, and on Monday went to go see the show, and on Tuesday went to go interview him. And it was an interesting interview. The show itself is, I don't know how to put it, it's very, very mainstream. It's very well done, and those castanets are incredible. I wish that he could have brought some castanets to the interview, and then I could have recorded them and everybody would have gone home happy. Unfortunately, no castanets. To me, it's the sort of thing where the background music is Miles Davis, Sketches of Spain, which is what I was working on last night. And to me, Jazzing Flamenco is sort of the opposite of Sketches of Spain, in that it is a crossover type of project where Sketches of Spain was trying to take, at that time, contemporary jazz influences and funnel them through a Spanish sensibility. This, to me, is going the other way, and obviously using dance, which is taking Spanish sensibilities and funneling it into a much more Western mainstream type of thing. Antonio Najaro is the director, the main choreographer, the main dancer. He does the costumes. He does just about everything there. Without further ado, here you go.
Bon, j'ai commencé à l'âge de 8 ans à danser. Et toute ma famille sont du sud de l'Espagne. Ils sont pas des artistes, mais au sud de l'Espagne, il y en a beaucoup, beaucoup de fêtes où tout le monde danse dans la rue. Et on voit beaucoup de flamenco, beaucoup de flamenco. Et ça, j'aimais depuis très petit. Et alors, mes parents, ils ont vu que j'avais quelque chose à faire dans le monde de la danse. Et j'ai commencé à 8 ans ma carrière professionnelle et dans le Royal Conservatoire de Danse de Madrid. Alors là, quand on commence à danser, on ne fait pas que du flamenco, on fait aussi beaucoup de danse, de ballet classique, contemporain, danse classique espagnole. Alors on est formé dans différents styles de danse. Et à 15 ans, j'ai commencé à travailler professionnellement, à tourner dans les sein des meilleures compagnies de flamenco en Espagne. Je suis rentré au Ballet National d'Espagne, j'étais premier danseur et chorégraphe au Ballet National d'Espagne. J'ai eu une carrière très, très avancée toujours, depuis très jeune. Et mon rêve, c'était créer ma propre compagnie. Je la suis créée au 2001 et je fais déjà 3 productions. Et voilà, c'est mon rêve qui est réalité et on tourne partout le monde avec, voilà. Alors, j'ai toujours fait mes spectacles. La base de mes spectacles, ce n'est pas de flamenco pur. Et mon langage principal de danse, c'est la danse classique espagnole. Ça ressemble au flamenco, mais il y a une grande base technique derrière. Et pour faire les pirouettes, une grande base de ballet classique derrière. Et on joue aussi les castagnettes. C'est un instrument très dur à jouer. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai besoin d'utiliser d'autres musiques différentes pour mettre en valeur mes chorégraphies. C'est pour ça que mon premier spectacle, j'utilisais le tango argentin. Mon deuxième spectacle, j'utilisais les musiques orientales et aussi de la danse orientale. Et mon troisième spectacle, des musiques, ce n'est pas de jazz, de pur jazz, mais il y a beaucoup de différentes influences dans la musique. C'était mon deuxième production. C'était un spectacle beaucoup plus pur, on peut dire, beaucoup plus à terre. Et j'ai beaucoup recherché les raisins de tout ce qui est la religion, la culture orientale. Et on fait beaucoup de pièces de l'Inde, Maroc, la Turquie, la Grèce. Et c'est un spectacle très à terre. Ça sent la terre. Par contre, au jazz in flamenco, je voulais faire un spectacle beaucoup plus glamoureux, beaucoup plus élégant. Et j'aime bien faire des touches différentes dans les différents spectacles. Oui, bon, c'était. Je cherchais de faire quelque chose de différent, complètement différent à mon deuxième spectacle. Et je parlais avec Fernando Gosque, c'est le compositeur et guitariste de toute la musique, de jazz in flamenco et aussi de tango flamenco. Et j'ai beaucoup parlé avec lui. Et bon, on a décidé de rechercher dans les origines du jazz. Et on a vu que c'était quelque chose qu'on pouvait faire juste pour. Et une ambiance sophistiquée, c'est ça qu'on voulait. Et on a pensé aussi au Festival de Jazz de Montréal, et on pensait que, bon, que c'était quelque chose qui rentrait bien dans le festival. Et voilà, on a commencé à créer la musique au début, et après chorégraphie, costume. La première chose, c'est l'idée, bien sûr, mais le plus important pour moi, c'est la création musicale. C'est la base de spectacle. Pour moi, c'est très très difficile de trouver des danseurs qui sont préparés dans les disciplines que j'ai besoin pour mes chorégraphies. Mes chorégraphies, bon, tu as vu hier, sont très complexes. Il y a une grande base technique derrière et c'est difficile de trouver des... Les danseurs qui font que du flamenco, ils ne sont pas capables de faire ce genre de spectacle. Alors, je fais des auditions et c'est pas évident de trouver des danseurs, mais bon, finalement, je les ai trouvés. Et presque tous les danseurs, je les sais depuis le début de ma compagnie. Alors, ils font partie de tous les spectacles. Des fois, on change, mais bon, presque tous, ils sont depuis le début. Et voilà, je commence à travailler avec eux. D'abord, je fais un grand travail moi-même personnel de toute la chorégraphie. J'aime beaucoup avoir les idées très claires avant de commencer le travail avec eux. Et j'aime pas utiliser mes danseurs pour avoir l'inspiration. Non, 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 ça j'aime pas. J'aime bien avoir les choses claires pour transmettre mon vocabulaire, mon langage directement. C'est bien des compagnies de ballet pur et des compagnies de flamenco pur, mais moi je trouve par exemple à mon pays, en Espagne, il y a déjà beaucoup de compagnies qui font du flamenco. Et moi, depuis le début, j'essayais de vraiment montrer mon style, que c'est la danse classique espagnole. Le problème de la danse classique espagnole, c'est que ça exige beaucoup, beaucoup, beaucoup de sortes de travail. Et dans le flamenco aussi, bien sûr, je respecte beaucoup et j'adore. Mais tu ne dois pas faire tous les jours deux sortes de ballet classique par jour. Tu ne dois pas essayer les castagnettes tous les jours parce que c'est un instrument qu'il faut travailler beaucoup. C'est très dur, maîtriser, coordonner avec les pas. C'est un grand travail technique derrière. Et c'est vraiment dur d'avoir une compagnie qui a ce rythme de travail. On voyage beaucoup dans différents pays. On a beaucoup de représentations un jour ici, l'autre jour là. Et c'est très difficile d'avoir une compagnie avec la mentalité du travail comme ça. Les flamencos, c'est un peu plus... Je ne veux pas dire qu'il ne faut pas travailler le flamenco, bien sûr qu'il faut le travailler, mais c'est un peu plus, on peut dire, sauvage, entre guillemets. Alors on peut faire des improvisations, on a la jupe, on a les zapateados, dans la danse classique espagnole, on voit très clair quand il y a un bon travail derrière et quand il n'y en a pas un bon travail derrière. Tu comprends alors? C'est pour ça qu'à ce moment-là, et moi, c'est la seule compagnie en Espagne de grand format qui font un spectacle de classique espagnol. Je suis quelqu'un qui pense que je fais un grand travail d'abord, les transmettre aux danseurs. Alors je fais surtout voir quelque chose. Et moi, j'ai pas fait, ça c'est ma troisième production, et j'ai pas fait un spectacle jamais, mais par le moment, avec un argument de début à fin. J'aime bien faire des différentes chorégraphies, et chaque chorégraphie différent, avec un style, avec un feeling différent. Et quand j'éclaire ce feeling-là, je commence le processus de création chorégraphie, les mouvements, les pas, et les costumes, l'odeur de chaque chorégraphie. Si je commence à transmettre cette chorégraphie et je commence à changer, et je pense qu'à la fin, c'est pire. Parce que tu perds ton première idée. Alors je préfère aller direct avec mon idée et faire la première du spectacle et après le voir sur scène, voir s'il y a quelque chose à changer. Mais j'ai presque rien changé depuis la première et dans aucun de mes spectacles. Moi, je travaille pour améliorer la qualité artistique et technique, mais la base chorégraphique, la base musicale, la base de lumière, moi j'aime bien les laisser. Oui, il y en a beaucoup de choses, on peut dire, entre guillemets, bizarres. Et pour bien venir mes spectacles, il y en a beaucoup de puristes aussi qui viennent voir mon spectacle, puristes du jazz, puristes du flamenco. Moi, je vais surtout rentrer dans le cœur des gens qui viennent voir le spectacle. Et j'ai beaucoup à remercier l'organisation, la direction du Festival de Jazz de Montréal. Ils ont eu l'idée, ça fait 4 ans, d'amener un spectacle de danse dans le cadre d'un festival de musique. C'était quelque chose de bizarre. Et finalement, on a rajouté 5 spectacles de nouveau parce que les gens ne savaient pas à la place pour venir voir tango flamenco. Je pense que les gens, ils apprécient d'avoir un spectacle complètement différent. Ils sont beaucoup d'excellents spectacles de musique, mais c'est quelque chose de différent, c'est la danse. Il y a la musique en direct. On est des musiciens aussi parce que des zapateades, on joue les castagnettes, on peut dire qu'on est... Mais bon, c'est vrai que c'est la danse. Mais je pense que les gens apprécient de voir autre chose différente, c'est la danse. Alors, je pense que ça, c'est bien. Et à part ça, et dans mes spectacles, il y a beaucoup de gens qui disent « on va voir un spectacle de danse, d'accord. On va voir une fusion de jazz avec du flamenco. » Il n'y a rien que vraiment te raccroche pour voir le spectacle, mais c'est ça que j'aime. J'aime beaucoup que les gens viennent sans savoir exactement ce qu'ils vont voir. Et j'essaie toujours, pas tout le monde, mais bon, j'essaie à peu près la réaction du public. J'ai créé cet spectacle et mes deux derniers spectacles. Je pense toujours à la qualité de chaque composante de spectacle. La musique, les lumières, les costumes et la danse. Et il n'y en a pas vraiment du vrai flamenco, il n'y en a pas de vrai jazz, mais moi je ne veux pas faire ça. Pour ça, il y en a des musiciens de jazz pur, des musiciens de flamenco pur, des compagnies. Moi je veux juste montrer mon langage. Tout ce que j'ai appris dans ma carrière de grands maîtres de ballet comme Antonio Gades, Antonio Bailarin, tous les grands, j'ai travaillé avec tous les grands chorégraphes, j'ai pris de chacun ce que je voulais pour moi et j'ai créé mon propre style. Et cet style, ça peut plaire ou ça peut pas plaire, mais surtout, je vais montrer qu'il y a une compagnie avec une grande discipline technique, mais en même temps qui dégage quelque chose. Et quand le public sort, je pense qu'il sort du spectacle avec quelque chose de nouveau dans son cœur. Ils ont senti une énergie, quelque chose, pas que les trucs visuels, que c'est très important, parce que moi j'aime pas aller voir un spectacle de danse et voir qu'il y a des techniques, oui, 10 pirouettes, bon, ça c'est très bien, tu apprécies, il y a beaucoup de travail derrière, mais moi je veux que les gens sortent, je veux pas que les gens aussi aillent voir un spectacle et que s'ils lisent pas le programme, ils comprennent rien, ça j'aime pas, j'aime bien que les spectateurs s'assoient, et qui commence à voir et qui reçoit. Il faut recevoir. Et quand il reçoit, il dégage. Quand il dégage, nous, on reçoit. Et moi, je pense que c'est un changement des énergies que ça fait que la fin du spectacle soit comme une explosion. Il faut que je dise que les gens de Montréal, ils sont vraiment chaleureux. Moi, depuis le début du spectacle, on sent déjà que... Mais cet spectacle, on a été dans des pays complètement différents. On peut aller, je sais pas, des États-Unis, au Roumanie, au Turquie, c'était des spectateurs complètement différents et on a beaucoup de succès, toujours. Je pense que les gens apprécient la qualité de spectacle. Même si tu n'aimes pas la danse et il y a une très bonne composition musicale, joué par des magnifiques musiciens. Si tu n'aimes pas, si tu n'aimes pas la musique, il y a la danse, il y a les costumes. J'essayais d'être très rigoureux dans chaque composante et moi, je pense que les gens apprécient ça. Vraiment, toute la compagnie, on se sent très, très bien à Montréal. On se sent, quand on est venu 4 ans avant, on sent que les gens, ils sont vraiment ouverts. Ouvert et respectueux. Et moi, je pense que ça, c'est un mixage excellent parce que il y a d'autres pays où tu sens vraiment que tu te sens pas accueillir. Tu te sens accueillir quand tu as fait le spectacle et les gens, ils ont vu le spectacle. Ici, on se sent accueilli depuis le début. Et ça, pour moi, c'est top pour un pays comme Canada.
Lotto Quebec is proud to present the 23rd edition of Festival International Nuit d'Afrique from July 14th to 26th. The greatest names in world music are coming to perform. They include the Orchestre National de Barbès, the leading group in the international oriental rock scene, reggae and Latin rhythms with Salsa Muffin creator Sergeant Garcia, the unique Maria de Barros, one of the great voices of Cape Verde, the mythical group Kassav celebrating their 30-year career. For more information, visit www.festivalnuitdafrique.com. Or call 514-499-FINA.
This is Heavy Rotation on DiscoBreak.com.
Yes, you are listening to Movement Museum, not Heavy Disco nor Heavy Rotation. However, they are having a disco dance party this Saturday. It is at Le Salon Dahomey, which is 141 Mount Royal East. And it is, Heavy Disco, which is Brad Slide. Let me start this right. Saturday, July 11th, join us for another funky dance floor workout at the coolest club in the city. Brad Slide, your own CKUT DJ, throwing it down all night alongside John Juster blowing jazz on his saxophones. We start early with dirty disco edits and build to really funky new house beats before bringing it back to some late night disco classics. If you've never been to this club, it's like no other in Montreal. The place feels more like somebody's living room or loft than a bar, and the crowd is unpretentious and out to dance and hang out. It's free before midnight, and if you click on attending, which is from the Facebook page, so go find Heavy Disco on Facebook. Otherwise, it's $8 at the door. Let's dance, let's shout, shake your body down to the ground. And yes, as you can probably guess, this is the awesome Montreal Dance Calendar as part of Movement Museum here on CKUT. It's 2:22 in the afternoon on Thursday. I think today is, what, the 9th of July or something like that? And yeah, Jazzing Flamenco, the guy who was talking before, Antonio Najaro, and I apologize again for mispronouncing his name. Unfortunately, I'm not anywhere near Spanish. But there it's playing tonight at 8 o'clock, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 8 o'clock, all at Théâtre du Nouveau Monde, which is at the corner of St. Urban and St. Catherine. Unfortunately, I don't know what the price of the tickets are, but they're the purple prose that the Jazz Festival tosses out at us is born of a fervent desire to modernize Spanish classical music by fusing different musical genres, jazz, blues, soul, and flamenco. Jazzing Flamenco is a production boasting an absolutely unique style. Madrid choreographer Antonio Najaro brings originality and a breath of fresh air to the current dance scene. Making daring choices, he aims to liberate and at the same time reconcile tradition and modernity in a skillful creation inspired by two inventive domains, two brilliant cultures, marrying the magic of flamenco to the elegance of jazz. Beyond that, There is also tomorrow, the Montreal International Tango Festival starts at Tango Libre, which is 2477 Mount Royal East. And that goes on, I don't know, through the next like 10 days or something like that. And then there's this one thing that's happening tonight, which I'm unfortunately not going to be able to make, but it's a double bass meets flamenco dancer with Renaud Garcia Fons Bajo Andaluz and Sabrina Romero. That's also at the Jazz Festival, which is this time happening at the Jesus Centre de Créativité. On Saturday, we have Le Projet Médiation Culturelle des Précédentes, which is a projet d'architecture chorégraphique signé par Mary Bellent, mis en lumière l'espace du parc La Fontaine en intégrant les danseurs tentes aux lignes du force de paysage comme mouvement des promeneurs. And that's at Théâtre de la Verdure at 6 o'clock. Also at Parc Jean Drapeau on, what would it be, Saturday night at about 7 o'clock, you can get free ballroom dance lessons, cha-cha, tango, and merengue. And yeah, then on Sunday, there is the Salsafali Saltimambo, which is at Parc Jean Drapeau as well. Yeah, it's summertime, so most of the dance stuff that's happening around these days is more of a participatory nature, although I'm getting all giddy and excited about the upcoming Théâtre de la Verdure season. Yeah, and as I said, don't forget to go to Heavy Disco at Salon Daume, which is 141 Mount Royal East, this, Saturday? Coming up soon. Anyhow, we now have done our awesome calendar. I think we've done our station ID. It's CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Movement Museum. If you want to get in contact with us, all you have to do is email movement, M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T, at ckut.ca. If you want to listen to this over your computer, you can do so at movement-museum-blogspot.com. What else is there? Oh, yes, and Facebook. You can always find us on Facebook. We got a page there. Just dump in movement or museum or something like that and see what crops up. But now, yes, I think it's time to go to my interview with Jamie Gugardi, who is, as I said before, president of the board of directors of Système D, which is Dominique Part's dance troupe. And yeah, we delved into a whole whack of stuff that really was not all that sort of movement related, but it was related as far as keeping stuff or enabling people to move, I think would probably be the best way to put it. And yeah, I've been talking too much. So without further ado, let me let Jamie start talking.
I'm the president of the board of Système D, Dominique Porte, and Dominique is a contemporary dancer who is celebrating her 10th year this year, and I am starting my second year on the board. The board currently is made up of four people, including the artistic director, and we will have a fifth member joining us who comes from a dance administrative background this year. I think that it's true, because traditionally, board of directors in dance companies have been, small and medium-sized dance companies, have been groups of friends and colleagues and sit around once or twice a year and, talk about the grants that you requested and if you got them or not and what you're creating and what you're doing. But today that's changed quite a bit. And I remember when I was approached by Dominique to ask if I wanted to be on her board, I really didn't know what that would entail. And so I spoke to a few friends that I have in the dance world and asked them a little bit what they thought. And one of the cleanest pieces of advice I got was from Brian Webb, who's a presenter from Alberta and works in Ottawa as well. And he said, if you're going to be on the board, you have to produce and be active. If you're just going to sit there and be part of a club, then it's not going to happen. And so I joined the board, saying I'm going to try and do something. And so I arrived with my business sense, because I don't come from the arts milieu at all, and really came in with a bunch of ideas and realized right away that there was a huge compatibility mismatch from day one in terms of what I thought my job was and what they thought my job was. And it took me about a year to understand what everybody was talking about when we'd get together. You know, everyone's talking with different acronyms of things they were talking about, and I really didn't know what was going on. And meanwhile, I'm telling them, well, who's your customer base and who are your fans and what are your revenues and all these types of business questions. So it took about a year for everything to gel. And in our particular case with the company, it happened at a time in transition when Calc, the Conseil des Arts des Lettres de Québec, had changed a little bit their criteria for which they were giving out grant money. And the company didn't get any money in this round of demands. And so we went and had an interview, and Calc explained to us what their new criteria was. And in this case, it included touring outside of the normal Maison de la Culture tours, creating your own demand, raising your own money, having an active board, doing fundraisers, all these things which had not been done. So myself and the rest of the board, who's made up of some fabulous people, decided to take that under as this is what we're going to do this year for Dominique. And so far, you know, we're heading in the right direction. I was brought in because I think that there was a recognition that I do have some sort of business sense. And Dominique is a little bit of an older dancer now. And she's in that period where she's going to have to really, you know, to make the company go the next 10 years is going to take more effort than it did for the first 10. And there was a recognition that there was going to have to be some changes and some harder work. And she asked me if I was up to it, not knowing what I really could give. And I offered her what I could. And, you know, it's been a great, great experience for me. I've really enjoyed it. Well, when I first joined the board, I thought, well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get a list of all of your fans, and we're going to have to you know, sell them memberships, and we're going to have to take control of ticket sales at the box office, and we're going to have to, you know, increase our margins and reduce our costs and all these business things. And then I realized that contemporary dance companies as such don't have any of that. That the way that it's worked is that they have people who will produce them or present them. And these are the folks who are in charge of the box office. These are the people who are in charge of collecting money and, you know, paying basically a cachet. So basically they're just, you know, they're just getting paid to do the gig. You know, they're not getting paid. It's hard to think of actually making a lot of money and having a company that's profitable. So that was a bit of a shock to learn that they're basically paid acts. And that was disappointing to learn that. At the same time, where I had to put my effort was how can we do things a little bit differently so perhaps you can make a little bit more, have more money for creation. Right now we're working on a project where we're going to possibly produce and present our own show in a theater which we're going to rent ourselves outside the metropolitan area. And that's in discussion right now, and that'd be really great. Well, you start to see that there is actually a possibility to have an equation that makes some money, but then you have to also not forget that because it's dance, you have to pay for a lot of rehearsal time with all of the dancers, you have to pay the choreographer, you have to pay the technicians, the lighting people, equipment you want to rent, and that bill adds up really fast if you don't have those assets already. But, you know, definitely it's a direction that we want to work in. And well, the company right now is Dominique, and she does, she has 6 or 7 pieces in her repertoire, which will vary having between 2 and 6 dancers on stage at any one time. So depending on which piece it is. Some of her pieces have live musicians on stage. Many of them do. She collaborates a lot with musicians and, you know, is able to bring that aspect as well. So. Well, I think that what we had is we had a very interesting experience recently as a group that was very cathartic, in that we organized the first fundraiser for the company. And organizing a fundraiser is a decision that's taken in a boardroom, and then after it's all said, voted on, we all look at each other with wide eyes and panic, how are we going to do it? Because none of us had any experience. So the experience of working together and finding the room where we were going to do it and figuring out what the theme was going to be and what was going to happen and how we were actually going to be successful was a great experience in collaboration with anyone on the board. And I think it created a lot of unity within our board and encouragement, because it was such a success that now we say, okay, well, now we can do something else. And so it was a great building step. In this case, we were at the studios of La 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 Human Steps on Park Avenue. We decided to do a brunch benefit in which people would come over in the early morning or late morning, early afternoon. There was a quick 10-minute representation of the previous 10 years' works with all of her old artists, collaborators coming back, followed by a presentation of an excerpt of the work that's in creation that will be presented in February at Place des Arts with a breakfast station and omelets and opportunity for lots of people to talk and hang out together and raise money. And it was really a fantastic experience. From that, it built a lot of energy and synergy within our group, and now we're going to try other things. And like I said, we're going to bring in this fifth member of the board who has more of an administrative background in dance. And that's going to allow us to be able to do a lot more things that we don't know how to do. How to ask for subventions, demands, bourses, how to book shows, how to negotiate contracts. He really, you know, he has this experience, which is going to bring a, you know, an administrative experience to the board, where right now we're lots of good ideas and intentions. This goes back a little bit to what you were saying earlier about what I expected from the board and what they expected from me. And you quickly learn that the board of directors is not the artistic director of the company. And so you have really have to be true and support what the artistic director wants to do, in this case Dominique, that we need to support what her vision is and help her and guide her to realize that. But it's not our place to say, oh, you need to do a show with this concert and hook up with this artist. And I think that more what we're trying to do is to, in the eyes of the people that give out money and support dance, whether that be at the federal, provincial, or municipal level, is to validate any concerns that they had in the past regarding why they wouldn't give us money. To do that, you need to outreach to the public. You need to tour outside of the normal tour. You need to raise your own money, all these things I mentioned earlier. And at the same time, your work needs to remain relevant and pertinent. That's, of course, subjective, but it's still a factor. And Dominique's company, for example, has had tremendous success traveling around Europe, and she's done some work in Macau as well with some connections that she has. And, you know, we're all very proud of her. You have to think that for her whole career, she has managed to support herself through her dance. That's a huge accomplishment. If we speak specifically about Système D, she has an amazing project that's in creation right now. She is working with three other dancers, Victoria May, who is originally from Ottawa, who just came back from doing several years working in Denmark, Heather Ma, Marc Boivin, two other fantastic artists, and they're working on a piece called Ulysse, Nous et les Sirènes, which will have two live singers on stage, orchestra, and it is so organic, the movement, so fast and slow, and slowing down and speeding up, and we talked about vocabulary earlier, like this fantastic dance vocabulary, and the excerpt that we saw at the brunch that I mentioned, everyone was so amazed. It was such a departure from where she was. So I think that we're seeing an evolution in her creative process. We're seeing an evolution in the way she wants to organize the business of Système D. We're seeing a board of directors that's rallying around her, the community around her. I think that it's a real big change. Where it actually ends up, I don't know. But the direction and the energy behind it is bringing it somewhere fantastic. This piece, which will premiere in February at the Cinquième Salle, is all the success that I believe it's going to be, and that the room is full every night, and that producers see the show and want to take it and tour it around the world and are willing to support her, that it's going to give 12, 18 months of touring. It's going to give money to start the next creation. It's going to give confidence and acknowledgement and recognition of all the hard work that went into it, and I think that's what the success would be. It's a learning experience, and the experience has been so positive that I'm sure that this is just a stepping stone for a greater contribution, and I'm looking forward to being able to do things on a larger scale, an international scale perhaps.
And that was part one of my interview with Jamie Gogarty, who is president of the board of directors of Système D. We now got to go pay some bills, and then I will be back with part two.
Come to the 4th annual Shazam Fest, 3 days and three nights, a celebration of music, skateboarding, wrestling, burlesque, and circus, July 24th to July 26th, an open-air festival set in the beautiful Eastern Townships, featuring Cali Roots, Pete Moss, The Dead Dolls Burlesque, Coral Egan and Charles Papazoff, Roma Carnival, Mellow G, Montreal's Hoop Troop, and the Vagabond Blues. The Eastern Townships Wrestling Association. Shredder Mike and the Valois Boys crew present the Jam at Shazam Big Trick Skateboarding Competition with cash prizes. Come and skate on the largest outdoor skate ramp in the townships. Bring your helmet. Shazam Idol Competition. Music jams hosted by the Township's Bluegrass and Old Time Music Society. Workshops, camping on site, rustic drinking bar, organic food booths, and vendor village. Tickets and information available at ShazamFest.com or dial 819-580-4118. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Howdy. We're back. It's 2:38 and a half, almost 2:39. This is Movement Museum. My name is Zeke. And yeah, we're talking about dance on your radio. All sorts and all types and kinds of dance. Yeah, it occurred to me, if anybody's interested, because I realized today's mix of background music is pretty much head-spinning, whiplash-inducing. We're going from some Bartok Bluebeard's Castle with by Pierre Boulez to some heavy disco with Miles Davis's Sketches of Spain in between. And yeah, in simple, if you're not hearing me or you're not writing it down quickly enough or there's something you like on a different episode that we've done, you can get in touch with us at movement@ckut.ca. And yeah, I think I should stop talking and just let you go back to Jamie's interview again. So here we go. This is part two.
It does sound like there's a cycle, you know, the way that, you know, it's described, it does sound like there's a cycle, you know. And perhaps that's true. Perhaps that is also part of the malaise of the world of dance, you know, is that there's so little provisions that are offered to sustain yourself that you are really looking forward, and forward is only so far. I think that what we're trying to do is to have the distance between the between the repeat of the cycle longer and longer. There are some companies in Montreal, larger companies, whether we talk about Les Ballets Jazz, Montreal Danse, La La La, whatever, who have significant boards of directorship, you know, nice big names, hardworking people who are able to do a lot. But there's another tier of dance companies underneath that. And, you know, this is at the level that we're working at, and we don't have all the big names and sponsors and people with the big black books of friends to call. And so our work is very hard, but it's very, very pertinent. And these are people who devote a lot of themselves to their art, not a lot of money for it, and they do it. And then when their careers are finished, often they're wrecked. Their bodies are wrecked. They need to replace their hips or fix their hips, their knees, whatever, their joints. Then they got to get in line at the CLSC to get their appointment. You know, so, you know, it sounds like a miserable existence if you tell a 16-year-old that this is what's going to happen, you know, and yet they still do it. And then we have, you know, very few male dancers. Very few male dancers compared to the number of female dancers that are, you know, vying for the same spots. And so I think that we need to encourage these people and these artists, and we need to help them. And, you know, what I try to do also in my corporate life is I'm often invited to go on a fishing trip or a hunting trip or, hey, let's go play golf, and kind of like a corporate activity. And, you know, what I like to do on my side is I like to invite my customers to come and see dance. And that blows them away because they always are like, what are we getting into and what's this going to be about? And but at the end of the evening, it's something that no customer has ever taken them to see. It's a new experience for them, and it's something that they talk about every time they see me. And so I think that we have a responsibility to expose people to dance, to demystify it, to make it accessible, and to actually take the money that we have for our expense accounts and say, I'm going to buy you a ticket, and you're going to see the show, and you're going to love it. And I think that this is something that we can be doing more of. And everyone loves golf, but I think that people don't know they don't like dance. Montreal has so much to offer everybody in dance. You know, we can go down to the vernissages at 303, or we can see shows at Tangent or L'Agora, or the bigger rooms at UZNC or Pierre Mercure. There's so many rooms that host dance regularly, all different levels of dance. And I think it's actually something that everyone should make a point of going to see dance at least once a year. If everyone in the city took that upon themselves to see dance at least once a year, that would create such a movement and an encouragement. You know what is very interesting is that the creative process in putting together a show is amazingly long. From a business point of view, from the time you make a decision, to execute a plan, which can be relatively short, the creative process in dance seems to me to be a much longer process than what I'm accustomed to. You know, you have an idea, you nurture it, you develop it, you rehearse it, you get it together, you maybe get a show, some producers see it, they'll say, oh yeah, we'd like to see that show again, we're gonna buy it from you, but it's next year. And so the time period from, you know, when that seed is planted to the time it's actually finished is very, very long. Very, very long. And I find that to be quite surprising. It's not A, B, C, go. I started off not knowing anything. And so I would meet all these people, but not really know who they were. And so I ended up at someone's birthday party and at dinner, sitting next to this lady with very long hair. So all night we kind of would, you know, small chat and everything. And she'd ask me, well, what do you do? And I would tell her and da 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 da. And then so finally I said, well, what do you do? And she had this surprised look and said, well, I am a dancer. And she said it with such poise. She obviously recognized I had no idea who she was. And she was absolutely delightful. Absolutely delightful in how she said it. And then later on, I left, told my date the story. And anyways, let's just say that it's like sitting next to someone very important and not knowing. Contemporary dance is actually quite accessible. And some people at the public at large might feel that it's elitist or it's confusing or it's you know, too weird, or they might have all different words they want to use to describe it. But it's actually very accessible and not expensive to go and see. When you think what people might pay for a rock concert ticket or some other form of entertainment that they might put their money on, that you can go in Montreal area and see some fantastic, varied, very diverse dance, and not just contemporary dance. Through my social circle, getting to meet dancers and, you know, as I said earlier, understand what their experience was, there wasn't a wall, but you just get sensitized to the amount of effort and the amount of creativity that exists in the community. Incredible amount of creativity and an incredible amount of support for each other. One of my favorite things to do is after a dance show is not just to leave right away, but it's always to hang around the bar or where there's a cocktail party or where the artists come out, because obviously the dancers are going to have friends and family that are there to meet them and to mingle with these folks and talk to them, and then when the artist comes out, to have a couple words with them and tell them what you thought and ask them if you don't understand, ask them what was going on. And I found that that has always been given a great response, that the artist wants that attention and wants that feedback, and they don't just want to read it in the paper that it sucked and no one was in the room and it was confusing. I saw a piece recently, it was Benoît Lacham's piece at Usine C, where he started his show seated, and he had it was a collaboration with a lady whose name escapes me right now, and they were seated in front of us, watching us, and then started the show by having a dialogue with the audience and explaining that what he was going to show us in this piece was within him, and it was all action, reaction, push, shove, pull, all this. And he made it clear to us that what's inside him is inside us as well, and we could do it. And by just having that little snippet of conversation with us before, it just made everything so much clearer. But if you didn't know, you were just like, what are these guys doing, you know? Well, I think my experience is a little bit unique in that in my personal life, I've had a lot of exposure to dance going back, I guess, the past 15 years. And prior to that, not even knowing what dance was in terms of a performing art. And just spent a lot of time dating dancers and seeing exactly what their experience was and how hard they had to work and how much they had to invest in themselves, and developed a strong, strong appreciation for the dancer as an artist. Really an incredible species, if you could say that. You know, they really, really dedicated people, work really, really hard. I had met Dominique socially through this group of friends over the years, and she had just kind of asked me on a lark, and I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to find a way to give to the community And I'm not the type of guy who's going to go work on Little League on the weekend or going to go sell candy or books at the hospital. And this really, for me, was a perfect timing, and it was an opportunity to do something and to learn. And I've learned a lot.
Yes. Good afternoon. It's 2:51 and 40 seconds according to this clock in front of me. And I think 2:52 and 35 seconds on the one up on the wall. This is Movement Museum, where we talk about dance on the radio and on your computer. Dance in Montreal in all its shapes, forms, sizes, and incarnations. Right behind us is Boogeyman, the latest from Heavy Disco, Heavy Rotation, which is having a dance party. Brad Slide is having a dance party this Saturday at Salon Daume, 141 Mount Royal East. It starts at 10 o'clock. Be there, be square, which shows you how old I am. Before Boogeyman and... otherwise, I'd like to thank again Jamie Gogardi, who was did a wonderful, wonderful interview. He is president of the board of directors of Dominique Port's dance company called Système D. And, as you heard, they are going to be coming out with something next year. They're in the process of doing a creation, making something, making stuff up, which is, to my mind, way cool. It's Dara, who is a contributor here and part of the Movement Museum Collective. She as well is going through a whole sort of let's create stuff, and actually speaking of that, because she is part of, although maybe we should keep it somewhat, a little bit discreet, but how about I just lead into this, because we have some auditions for the dancers in the audience. If you need a gig, if you need to make some money, if you just want to get paid while moving around, I got a bunch of them here for you. Mary Chouinard's company is having some open auditions. The company Mary Chouinard is looking for female dancers, hiring date to be determined, and male dancers. They need you now. Immediate hiring. If you have a Y chromosome and you know how to dance, get your act in gear. If you you have a very strong technique and arresting stage presence, experience in point work is an asset. They are open auditions, so send your resume and a picture to info@marychouinard.com before September 9th. You got some time, but the sooner you do it, the better it is. As she writes, or they write, they need male dancers now. If you wish, especially if you live abroad, pre-selection can be done on video. Send with your resume, photo, a video, free improvisation, no music, alone in a dance studio, dressed in casual rehearsal clothes, barefoot, maximum 90 seconds, format, quick time, a maximum of 6 megabytes. Pre-selection answer in 10 days following our reception of your complete application. However, if you are in town, there is the open auditions on the 12th of September at 11:30. The studios open at 10:30 a.m. You'll have 1 hour for your warm-up. Please, let me spit that out properly. Bring point shoes. I will dispense with the niceties. No classes will be offered. You are responsible for your own warm-up. Selected candidates must be available for another audition on September 13th. If you didn't know already, the address is 4499 de l'Esplanade, which is at the corner of Mount Royal. The company Mary Chouinard needs you. If you want more information, 514-843-9036 or marychouinard.com. Then, you're sick and tired of dancing in the city? L'Académie des Joies de la Danse de Porte-Cartier sur la Côte Nord est à la recherche d'une professeure permanente de la danse jazz ou autre pour enseigner des enfants de 4 à 16 ans et des adultes. Nous voulons permettre aux enfants de continuer à danser. L'Académie contient 80 élèves. Comptons rechercher formation académique en danse dans une école reconnue ou expérience pertinente. Connaissance des techniques en danse classique ou autre sorte de danse serait un atout. Expérience en enseignant de danse, capacité d'enseigner et de planifier des cours pour les enfants et des adultes, ou les adultes. Capacité d'encadrer une groupe et de faire suivre le code de vie de l'académie. Sont de responsabilité créative, patiente, dynamique et respect des autres. Durée de l'emploi, c'est permanent, temps plein, de septembre à mai. Et le salaire est selon l'expérience. Envoi de votre candidature avant le 10 juillet. That means you got a day. You got to get your acting gear. Académie Les Joies de la Danse, Casier Potsal 95, Porte-Cartier, Québec, Georges 5, Bruno 2, Georges 7. Ou si vous désirez, le numéro de téléphone, c'est 1-418-766-8026. We also got danseuse contemporain sur pointe. Audition pour danseuse sur pointe, technique solide et polyvention souhaitée pour duo en danse contemporain. Spectacle automne 2009, répétition 2 fois par semaine. S'il vous plaît, envoyez CV et documents visuels à Yannick, quelque chose comme ça. Dubois à lavache.com. Laisse-moi le Epelea. Let me spell that out for you. And by the way, I'm going to spell it in English, even though it is French, just so that I don't get anybody confused. It's D-U-B-O-I-S, D-U-B-O-I-S at Lavache, LAVACHE.com. They don't say when you have to get your stuff in by. Then, We have professeur de hip-hop. Nous sommes à la recherche d'une professeure de hip-hop dynamique aimant transmettre sa passion de la danse. L'école est située à Varennes, sur la rive sud de Montréal. Nos besoins sont pour la saison 2009-2010. Débutante en septembre 2009, si vous êtes intéressé par cette offre, veuillez nous faire parvenir votre CV à l'adresse courriel ci-dessus. Salaire à discuter selon expérience. Au plaisir de faire votre connaissance. Her name is Caroline, and the email address, le courriel, c'est carolinegaliucci@simpatico.ca. C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, G comme George, ou J comme George, A-L-L-U-C-C-I, simpatico.ca. And yeah, if you want any sort of feedback, follow-up on these, or you're not catching them as I'm running through them and lickety-split and so on, all you got to do is email us at movement@ckut.ca, or you can listen to us over your computer, which is movement-museum.blogspot.com. And yeah, this show should be up, I don't know, by tomorrow or something like that. I got a bunch more, but we're running out of space here. It's 2:58. This is CKUT 90.3 FM here in Montreal. And while the sun is out shining, good friend of the station, friend of mine, friend of a whole whack of people and stuff like that, Len Dobbin died yesterday, and that's a bummer. It's not good stuff at all. But everybody else's life goes on, and at which point we now you have to get out of here so that positive vibes can get on the air. They're sort of tiptoeing around the back, but they don't know that they can stomp all they want, and it's not gonna bug me one iota. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Hope to see you next week, and have fun dancing on your radio.